Roma requested that I speak on a particular topic. So I need everyone to chant the Maha Mantra for 3 times, please.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
2 more. So those who know me, I always chant 2 mantras before I speak on scripture. Trinadapi sunichena taror iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sada hari means I must always keep myself meek and humble. I must be more tolerant than the tree. I must give all respects to others. Therefore, Harish and I were talking earlier today before all of you came. Harish and I had a very nice one-on-one spiritual session. It was very nice how we shared our realizations. So Harish reminded me of what is taught in Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna is in everyone's heart. And Harish had a realization that he says that we should all be like Krishna in this sense, that we should follow Krishna's teachings and follow Krishna's example. Am I right, Harish? Let's give Harish a big ding. So I want to offer my respects to Krishna who lives in your heart. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanang bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. And then the last item, I should not be concerned whether or not people offer me respect. Don't worry about that. I just have to offer respects to everyone because Krishna is in everyone's heart. And then the mantra that I live by, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namaiva Kevalam, Kalau Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. That in this age, if you want to advance, if you want to improve, if you want to better, then the secret beyond the secret. You've heard of that famous book, The Secret. But there's a secret behind the secret. I gave a lecture on that in 2008 in South Africa at a university. It was very interesting. Half of the students were black African, half were Indian, because that's South Africa. Many, many Indians. So the topic was the secret behind the secret. And I clearly told them all, the secret behind the secret is that by chanting the holy name of God, all success is there. So let's raise our hand and repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama, Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare. So the topic that Roma, as she gives me every year a different topic, she's good at that. So don't lose that resolution. Always give me a good topic. The importance of one's speech, how one speaks, is very, very important. So when she told me that, I was thinking and chanting, and then this verse from Bhagavad Gita came to mind. So let's chant, please repeat. Arjuna Uvacha, Stitta Pragyasya, Kabasha, Samadhi, Stasya Keshava, Stittadi, King Prabhasheta, Kimmasita, Vrajeta Kim. Now this question by Arjuna is in the second chapter. Arjuna has already heard from Krishna the difference between the body and the soul, the difference between matter and spirit, and the difference between what is eternal and what is temporary. That's the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, the first lesson of transcendental knowledge. You're not your body, you're not your mind, you are spirit, soul, as Harish was revealing to me earlier today. We are all part and parcel of Krishna. When I heard Harish use that phrase, I became so happy. He's talking like a learned man. Very good. So after that, Krishna explains to Arjuna that he should fight this battle because for Arjuna it's win-win. There's no downside, Krishna says. Krishna says, if you fight this war and you die, guess what? You're going to heaven. Anybody not want to go to heaven? And then Krishna says, and if you fight the battle and you win, you'll rule the earth. Where is the loss? It's a good business deal, right? Anyone who does business will take a win-win opportunity. Then Krishna tells Arjuna, now I'm going to explain something called buddhi yoga. Buddhi means use your intelligence, like I was saying. No more Bhakta Forrest Gump, stupid. Use your intelligence. But yoga means to link. Using your intelligence to link, and look who's here. The Supreme of all Supremes. Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki. Yes. Yoga means to link with this Krishna. The same Krishna that's in your heart. Same Krishna. He's there. Harish was... Harish, you are my muse today. Harish was saying that Krishna is all pervasive. Yes, that is why there's this name of Krishna. Vasudeva. Everyone say. Vasudeva. Vasudeva means he's everywhere. He's all... When Prahlad Maharaj was questioned by his father, Hiranyakashipu, because Hiranyakashipu was about to kill his son. So Prahlad was questioned by Hiranyakashipu, where is your God that you talk about? And the little five-year-old boy said, my God is everywhere. And Hiranyakashipu laughed at his son. Prahlad, this is nonsense talk. But Prahlad was correct. Vasudeva, everyone say. Vasudeva. He's everywhere. So, buddhi yoga means the scientific process using your intelligence to link, to connect with Krishna, with God. Then, this question comes by Arjuna, the verse that we chanted. Arjuna says, O Krishna, what are the symptoms of one's consciousness who is merged in transcendence? In other words, when you actually connect with Krishna, you are in transcendence. That's what the whole yoga process is about. Doesn't matter what yoga you do. The perfection of your yoga is that you are linked with God. You are in transcendence. So Arjuna says, someone who is in transcendence, how does he speak? What kind of language? How does he sit? How does he walk? And then Krishna, in the rest of chapter 2, explains all the symptoms of a self-realized person. Now, the purport by my spiritual master Srila Prabhupada addresses Roma's question. Are you ready to hear? Then sit properly. I'm now going to read the words of my spiritual master, who accepted me as his disciple on April 16th, 1974. He was in Bombay, I was in New York, but he wrote a letter to the president of the Brooklyn, New York Temple, and the letter said, the following persons I have accepted as my disciples, and my name was there. Bhakta Forrest Gump became Nirantara Das. Here is his purport. As there are symptoms for each and every man in terms of his particular situation, similarly, one who is Krishna conscious has his or her particular nature, talking, walking, thinking, feeling, etc. As a rich man has his symptoms by which he is known as a rich man, as a diseased man has his symptoms by which he is known as diseased, or as a learned man has his symptoms, so also a man in transcendental consciousness of Krishna has specific symptoms in various dealings. One can know these specific symptoms from the Bhagavad Gita. Now I stop here to make a point that this, one of the reasons for myself why, because I was not raised Hindu. I was raised in a different religion, different culture. So I'm asked this question all the time. I've been asked since day one, and here it is 40 years later. Why did you do this? Why are you doing this? So there are many, many reasons why I am doing this. So one of those reasons is these books, like Bhagavad Gita, they are like textbooks where you can know at every moment where you are at in your spiritual development if you're honest with yourself. That's fundamental. You have to be brutally honest with the man in the mirror. You can go out in the world and pretend to be something, that's one thing, and somebody may think you're this, but you know yourself when you look in the mirror what's going on. So that's very important for spiritual advancement, to be brutally honest. This is where I'm at. So what I like about Bhagavad Gita and these books that my spiritual master is giving is that they're scientific textbooks and they're very, very practical. Most important is how the man in Krishna consciousness speaks. For speech is the most important quality of any man. That's Roma's topic. Speech is the most important quality of any man. It is said that a fool is undiscovered as long as he or she does not speak. And certainly a well-dressed fool cannot be identified unless he or she speaks. But as soon as one speaks, he or she reveals oneself at once. So, when I went over this again, it dawned on me what Prabhupada is saying is very relevant, because we just had an election. And maybe some of you saw or heard the different debates. And not telling you wahoo, but if you were paying a close attention, you could tell who was the fool and who knew what he was talking about. You saw that in the primary debates, and then you saw it in the presidential debates. And yet, you just didn't see it once. You saw it twice, you saw it three times. You saw a fool talking to a chair. Remember that one? Yeah. So, what Prabhupada is saying is very practical. The American public saw who was speaking and how were they speaking. They made their choice, right or wrong. I'm not getting into politics. No. I'm just illustrating a point. They spoke, the people decided. Okay. The immediate symptom of a Krishna conscious man is that he speaks only of Krishna and of matters relating to him. Other symptoms then automatically follow, as stated below. Perhaps you have heard of there was this person. You've heard of this group, the Beatles? Or am I too old? So you've heard of the Beatles. So there is one Beatle, his name was John Lennon. So in 1969, Prabhupada stayed at his house. And John Lennon, under the influence of Prabhupada, was chanting Hare Krishna, playing piano. And sometimes they would have talks together. So one time Mr. Lennon said to Prabhupada, "How do I know who is the real guru? Because you know it as well as me. India's got billions. There's a new guru every week coming up on the market." So someone like Mr. Lennon is going to be confused. How do I know who's the real guru? And Prabhupada answered Mr. Lennon very, very, shall we say, what's the word? Anyway, at this time, Mr. Lennon was a drug addict. Okay? So what did Prabhupada say? Who is the real guru? Prabhupada said, "Oh, find that man who is most addicted to Krishna." Very clever. That's the word. Prabhupada was clever. Because Mr. Lennon was addicted to heroin. Prabhupada said, "Yes, the guru is that man who's most addicted to Krishna. I want to be that man, most addicted to Krishna." The person who is most addicted to Krishna is always talking about Krishna, is always working for Krishna, is always planning for Krishna. And such a person is 24 hours a day absorbed in Krishna, 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 Krishna. That is samadhi. That's what I am striving for. If for myself, why did I select Srila Prabhupada as my spiritual master? Why did I join this movement? Why did I stop everything, give up everything, and dedicate my life? Because I heard him, and when I heard him speak, it resonated with my heart. Over the years, people have asked me, "Prabhu, there are so many gurus, I don't know who to select. I like this one, I like this one, I like... I always tell them, who is the person you most want to hear from? Rush Limbaugh. You're always hearing from somebody. Maybe it's some singer. So ask yourself, who is that person that I most want to hear from? There's your guru. So for me, it is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Because when he talks, when he sings, it touches my heart. So that brings me now to the next level. That sound vibration is very powerful. And how we speak to each other does have consequences. And our words can hurt. Our words can heal. That ability, that potency is within each of us. So, let's say I'm dealing with my wonderful, beautiful, devoted wife. So, if I'm a stupid Bhakta Forrest Gump, hey, bring me this. How far am I going to get? But if I say, Davy, could you please bring me some water? Which do you think is going to have a better result? Yes. Everything can be achieved by the tone and the way the message is delivered. Myself, I've delivered thousands of lectures over the years. So, the more you do something, if you're not completely imbecile, you learn after so many trials, you learn what works, what doesn't work. So I have found that if my speech is with compassion, if my speech is with concern, if I'm talking out of a platform of love, then that's going to have a better effect. How am I doing tonight? Was it okay? Am I practicing what I'm preaching? Well, thank you. Thank you very much. But it has taken me a long time because to me, everything is an art. Art of cooking. Ladies, you master the art of cooking. And maybe some of the men do too. Right? There's an art of, and Supriya was mentioning it, the art of raising children. Unfortunately, there's no textbook. When you have kids, right? There's no... Oh, there is one coming out. Oh! Very good, Roma. Hopefully it will be on the New York Times bestseller list. You have a publisher. Good. And even when we are chanting or singing, Krishna is listening to the devotion. One time, I'll tell you a story. One time a girl I knew before I was Hare Krishna. So I met her after some time. Now I was Hare Krishna. Her name was Nancy. So Nancy met me and said, you know, what is this chanting thing? I don't get it. So I said, oh, Nancy, sit in this chair. So I sat her in a chair. And then I sat on the floor at her feet. And I said, Nancy. Nancy. She got it. So when we are chanting, everything we're doing, Krishna is looking at the devotion. So Prabhupada says, when we chant, it's like the cry of the child for its mother. It's from the heart. So when we offer prayers, when we do puja, from the heart, that is what is going to attract Krishna's attention. Somebody on Facebook sent me a question back in September, and it was only today that I saw it. So I immediately responded. I said, I'm sorry I didn't see it. His question was, he has people who are chefs. So this big chef that he knows can't understand why we don't taste the food before offering it to Krishna. He thinks, oh, if you're going to offer it to God, you should taste it first so that it's perfect. So this friend of mine wanted me, what do I say to him? So I said, listen, God is not impressed with anything that we could possibly offer Him from the material aspect. Like Prabhupada once said, even if you give God a golden car, it's insufficient. So there's nothing material that is going to attract Krishna's attention. After all, Krishna has everything already anyway. So my little dal rice and chapatis, it's like, besides, do you know who cooks for Krishna every day? Ah! Can anybody cook better than Radharani? So he's already being fed the best. But we learn from Bhagavad Gita that Krishna will accept what we offer Him. But what is it that He's relishing? It's not the dal, rice, chapati. It's not even the ghee. In that verse of Bhagavad Gita, a word appears twice. Bhakti. That is what Krishna is relishing. It's the bhakti. Sudama, you all know better than me. What did Sudama bring to Krishna? Yeah, sometimes it's called cheap rice. No, it was very low grade. And was it cooked? But Krishna was eating that rice and going, And Rukmini had to stop him. Because Rukmini was saying, oh my God, if he eats more, then I have to serve that Brahmin. I don't want to leave Krishna. So Rukmini stopped Krishna. Once enough. Hey, stop. So Krishna was enjoying that cheap, uncooked rice. Why? Because it was from his dearmost friend, Sudama. It wasn't the rice. It was because my friend has come to bring me something out of love. Then I gave another example. Mothers and fathers, you know very well. When your child was small, maybe they made a drawing and it looked like, you know, two sticks in it. But because it was your child, how did you feel? Right? You might have put it in a frame. Look at my nice Van Gogh painting my child did. But you appreciated that it was coming from your child and it was offered out of love. Because that's the thing. This whole bhakti process, this whole Vedic process boils down to one word, love. That's what it's all about. All the chanting, all the praying, the puja, everything we do is getting us to the one point, developing our dormant love for God. That's the religion I belong to. I do not belong to a Hindu religion or Christian. No, I belong to the religion that teaches how to love God. And I have found the best process which teaches me how to love God. You may be a Christian, I have no problem. Muslim, I don't care what club you belong to. Doesn't matter. But do you love God? That's the question. And who is providing the best process how to achieve that? For me, I have found it in Bhagavad Gita and in chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And as they say in Christian temples, Christian churches, at the end, go in peace. Have a happy 2013. And we'll see you again next year, this time. You're all going to come back. Let us now worship the Supreme Lord out of love and devotion.